I love looking out and seeing all of the red. As most of you know, today is Reformation Sunday. And so there is red on the paraments, on the vestments, and on clothing. We do have a few red masks in the back for those of you that might want one. We have a few announcements today. Today is going to look a little bit different than we originally planned. Unfortunately, the Cecil family has been a little bit under the weather this week. And although the kiddos are feeling better, Keith is under the weather, and so they have stayed home today, which we're very grateful for, right? If anything, COVID has taught us that if we aren't feeling well, we don't have to be superheroes and press through and still go somewhere. And so this is a plea to all of you and a reminder to myself that if you aren't feeling well, please stay home. Worship with us via our Facebook Live page. All that being said, next Sunday will be the baptism of Kate Cecil, and I think having that on All Saints Sunday will be really meaningful. Let's see, a couple of other announcements. This week we have our finance committee at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. There are some flower sign-up sheets just down the ramp on a table for 2022. There are some order forms for Christmas poinsettias in the narthex if you're interested in ordering a Christmas poinsettia. I have been forgetting to remind you the last few weeks, please sign the pew pads so that we can note your presence among us. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday, and as we've been reminding you for the last couple of Sundays, we aren't just going to honor and remember those that have died within the past year, which is our typical custom. We are going to remember and honor all of those who have died since November of 2019, since we did not gather together in person last year for All Saints Sunday. So, of course, we have a list of members who have died in that time, but if you'd like to submit the name of a loved one or a friend who has also died in that two-year time span, we would love to say their name out loud, light a candle in their memory, and ring a bell at the sound of their name. So if you could, by the end of today or tomorrow, if you have any names that you'd like to submit, please email me, email Latifa, hand us one of these papers. Just get us the name if you can. I have a card to read from Myra Beck. To all, this message is for all of you. Gratefully, sincerely, and very warmly. Thank you for all the phone calls, beautiful cards, abundance of food, visits, flowers, caring, and love that you have given our family during the sickness and death of our two loved ones, Jimmy and Harold. It is hard to lose two of your family right together, only 38 days apart. But God is helping us continually. Just love them deeply. Thank you all again. Love to all the Beck family. Myra, Keith, Andy, Donna, Stephanie, Drew, Trent, Ruby, Lauren, Sarah, Scott, Jody, Philip, and Reed. A couple of additions to our prayer list. John Lohr is having some difficulty with his rotator cuff. So he is on the prayer list. It didn't make it in the bulletin, but please add him to yours. Wilson Hearn had a pretty significant injury yesterday to his knee, and although they are not quite sure what all that means and what the treatment will hold for him, please add Wilson Hearn to your prayer list. On our prayer list already is Gary Hedrick, who has been in the hospital this week. Thankfully, he is home, but continue to pray for Gary and for Paula. And then two final announcements. There are two additions or adaptations to our bulletin today. Our hymn of the day is going to be Blessed Assurance 638 instead of Baptized and Set Free. Since the baptism isn't happening today, we're changing that a little bit. I'll remind you, but there is that change. And then since we are not doing the baptismal liturgy, we will do the Apostles' Creed like we normally do, after the hymn of the day and before the prayers of intercession. Finally, we have a couple of birthdays this week. Stephanie Hearn, Libby Carrick, and Janice Clean. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Save. gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Fill it with all truth and peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in need, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. All for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading today comes from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm for today is Psalm 46, and it'll be read responsively. God is our refuge and strength,
a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, though its waters rage and foam, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be shaken. The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord.
What desolations God has brought upon the earth.
Behold the one who makes wars to cease in all the world.
Who breaks the tower and shatters the spear, and burns the shield with fire.
Be still, then, and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
The second reading today comes from the book of Romans, the third chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is rested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show the righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For what we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Since we have just one kiddo with us today, who is an older kiddo, we are going to forego the children's sermon today. But it was going to be about the hymn we just sang, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I was going to be tech savvy and pull out my phone, and on Google Translate, we were going to look up the name of the tune. I don't know if you ever notice at the bottom of hymns, but at the very bottom, the name of the tune is always listed there. And the name of the tune for this is "Ein feste Burg." The rest of the phrase says, "Ein feste Burg ist uns ergott." And we were going to look that up on Google Translate, and it was going to say something about a castle, and then the more you typed it in, it would say, "A mighty fortress is our God." And I was going to talk a little bit about castles, how we don't necessarily have a lot of castles in the United States. Maybe the Biltmore is the closest thing geographically to us, but it's not necessarily a castle for keeping one safe and protecting someone against war and enemies. And then I was going to talk, well, maybe there's a castle that you're familiar with at Disney World or Disneyland, but those aren't necessarily castles for keeping us safe either. And I was going to talk about the metaphor, how God is like a strong castle for us, how God is a mighty fortress for us, and how this was one of, how "A Mighty Fortress" is based on Psalm 46, which was one of Martin Luther's favorite hymns. In fact, whenever he was going through a hard time or was about to go through a hard time, he would always read Psalm 46 first and then go forward into it So when he was in exile in that castle in Germany, after some of those early days of the Reformation, when he was in exile there, he regularly read through Psalm 46. And when he and Katerina's daughter died before the age of one, and they were devastated by her death from the plague, he read over and over Psalm 46. And so it was one of his favorite psalms, and he wrote our Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, based on that psalm. So that's what we were going to talk about in the children's sermon. Grace, mercy, and peace to you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love a good deal. In fact, it's rare that I ever pay full price for something other than groceries. I love to watch for sales, to get a good discount. But most of all, I love to buy items that are used and are in good condition. I love to look on Facebook Marketplace. I'm convinced someday I'm going to find a really great deal there, because it is a thrill for me to get a good deal on something, to reuse it, to repurpose it. So needless to say, I love to go thrifting. I really, really enjoy consignment stores. And my goodness, do I love a good rummage sale. The interesting thing is, I don't just like shopping for a good deal, and I don't just like consigning and rummaging. I also enjoy letting things go. There is a great satisfaction for me in releasing things that I've once owned, of letting go of things that I no longer need. Now, among other things, one of the reasons for this could be that I have moved 7 times in the last 5 years alone. I know what it is to pack and unpack and to settle and to repack, and you become very acutely aware of what you have and how much you have and what you actually need. But the fact of the matter is, we accumulate stuff. We all do. Now, some of the stuff we accumulate is stuff that we have used in the past. And although we aren't currently using it, it still feels hard to let it go. Perhaps because we have a sentimental connection to it. Or maybe because we think we'll use it again. I mean, how many of us here have clothes hanging in our closet that are too tight that we're convinced we're going to fit into again? We all have high hopes that someday some of the things might be reusable for us. But we have the habit of hanging on to stuff that no longer fits us or serves us well. And I'm not just talking about tangible things. This Reformation Sunday is a time for us to ask ourselves and to ask the church, and by this I mean the whole Christian church on earth, what do we need to let go of to make room for more things, more good things? Because I think as a church, as a whole, the church might need to have a good rummage sale itself. Because if we're being honest, the church holds on to stuff much, much longer than it needs to. Now, in saying that the church might need to have a rummage sale, I'm not talking about the kind of rummage sale where people bring clothing and tools and who knows whatever else. I'm talking about a metaphorical rummage sale, which would mean that we would get rid of and let go of stuff that no longer fits us or serves us well, in order to make room, to make space for the new things that God has for us in this age. Again, the church, the whole Christian church, but maybe here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, we need to have a regular rummage sale for the things that no longer fit us and that we don't use anymore. Maybe we could call it a reformation. The original clean out was set off in 1517 when a monk in a German university town called Wittenberg nailed 95 suggestions for improvement on the door of the church there. These statements essentially said, our church is in bad shape. We need to get rid of some of the junk, some of the things that are holding us back from moving forward. We need to have a big rummage sale. The cleanup got going, and the whole world changed. This is what we call the Reformation, which began 504 years ago, in 1517. And so today, Reformation Day falls on a Sunday. And on this festival day, we remember the Reformation. We remember what it is that makes us Lutherans, that we are always willing to reform, to look at the church, to look at the needs of the world, and to see where God would have us be at work, meeting the needs of those on the margins, meeting the needs of the oppressed and the poor. Today, we join with other Lutheran believers all over the world as we read the text for today, Jeremiah 31, remembering that God alone is the actor in the covenant which Jeremiah articulates. The covenant, which is a deep and intimate relationship with God that becomes imprinted on the hearts of humanity. We joined with others when we heard Romans 3, in which the Apostle Paul reminds us that we cannot earn or deserve any of God's gifts by what we do. But we are reminded that these gifts are received by faith. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. We've joined with others all over the world as we heard the words of John 8, being reminded once again that the truth of God's love and God's power and God's grace revealed in Jesus Christ means freedom for all people. Freedom from sin, and freedom to love our neighbors with all of who we are and all that we have. And we joined our voices with Lutherans all over the world as we sang the Reformation battle cry, "A mighty fortress is our God," based on Psalm 46, one of Martin Luther's favorite hymns. Psalm 46 is a beautiful psalm. It has been sung and prayed by God's people for thousands of years now. It describes for us in beautiful language what it means that God is our refuge and our strength. The word refuge, we don't necessarily use it a lot in our modern day English language. It's not a reference that's common for us. But we find it throughout the Old Testament. For example, in another psalm, it refers to a place where small animals find safety. In Isaiah, it means the shelter, the safe place during the midst of a rainstorm and other storms. This word means that it's a refuge from the storms of life. Psalm 46 reminds us that in the storms of nature and in the storms of life, God is our safety and our shelter and our security. God's people need not fear the worst that life or nature can throw at us, because God is with us and in the midst of it, whatever we go through. Twice this psalm reminds us that God is with us, and it's very intentional that the psalmist uses that phrase twice. The Lord of hosts is with us. I also learned, this is a quick tidbit, it wasn't in our hymn, but who remembers singing, "Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same," this Lord Sabaoth? It's not even related to Sabbath. It's the Lord of hosts. In Hebrew, it's the Lord of hosts. So the Lord of hosts is with us. Twice the psalmist declares this. And really what it means is that this psalm is a psalm of trust in God, who is with us. And it's not God being with us something we hope for or we look forward to. It is the truth. It is the truth, the most solid truth that we know, that in Jesus, our Emmanuel, God is with us no matter what we go through. We are not alone, ever. Think of another famous psalm that we often go to when times are hard. Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even in the darkest of valleys, we are not alone. So these psalms are more than just beautiful language. They are not empty promises. They are words of trust that communicate the truth of the gospel, that in great love for the whole world, in great love for the entire cosmos, Jesus completely emptied himself and became fully human. He became for us our Emmanuel. When we are baptized, we don't receive immunity from suffering. Our faith doesn't mean that we won't have hard times, even devastating times. Our faith in God doesn't mean that we will be free from the ravages of life, of nature, of war, of any kind of suffering. But God does promise that we will never, ever have to go through these things alone, because the Lord of hosts is with us. God is forever bound to us in love. On the tower at the top of the castle church in Wittenberg, in very large letters, are the words, "Ein Festeberg ist unser Gott." A mighty fortress is our God. It's a reminder of this psalm that so many believers throughout the ages have turned to in the most difficult times. Luther knew this when he wrote the last stanza of A Mighty Fortress. Listen to these words again. "Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever." These words describe some of the most tragic and awful things that humans can go through. And even in the midst of them, they cannot win the day, because God is with us. God is for us in love, and the kingdom is ours forever. So remember the refrain, "The Lord of hosts is with us." No matter what deep and dark valleys you go through this week, this month, this year, in your lifetime, remember to not be afraid, because God is with us. And with faith and trust and hope, we can confidently say to God, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." This is a promise we can count on forever. Amen. Please turn in your hymnal to 638, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Set free from sin and death and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. We pray for all who long for a word of truth and for the radical grace that flows from the cross. Inspire congregations to freely and boldly proclaim your love for all people with persistence and hope. Hear us, O God. We pray for your creation, the mountains, rivers, streams, cities, homesteads, and neighborhoods. Write in our hearts a new love and care for creation. Give us the will to curb wasteful habits and to hold accountable those who neglect the vulnerable. Hear us, O God. We pray for all who aspire to public office and for all who will vote on Tuesday at local polling places. Pour wisdom and understanding upon all who govern so that communities of justice and peace may thrive. Hear us, O God. We pray for all who long for healing in mind, body, or spirit, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, the family of Harold and Jimmy Beck, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Crystal, the family of Etta Lee Conrad, Duty, James, John, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, as well as those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Strengthen hospitals, clinics, counseling centers, nursing homes, and recovery centers to be holy spaces of renewal that all might live the abundant life you intend. Hear us, O God. We pray for all who seek to grow in faith and love of you. Guide teaching and learning in confirmation, small groups, Sunday school, youth groups, schools, seminaries, and universities. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for all the saints and reformers who have gone before us who dwell in your holy habitation. Give us courage through their example to challenge unjust systems and work toward life-giving reformation. Hear us, O God.
Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your life. In your name we pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us recite our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart. Amen.